Anyone that's all right, there's a in Luke 1 today. It's good to have you with us, excited about what God is doing in our church, and we're just thankful. There's more folks coming in, and if you, as they come down the aisle, you just let them scooch in a little bit. All right. So we'll get there. Luke chapter number 1. We're going to look at starting in verse number 26. If you found it, say amen. Let me read the evens, and of course, you'll read the odds. So that's why you need a Bible. So verse number 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you, God, that we may come to your house, and may we call upon your name and read your word out loud. And we praise you, O Father, for all that you're doing in our life. We thank you, God, that the work you do in our heart never ends. And God, that we are becoming the person you've called us to be. And God, that you're molding us and shaping us into the image of your Son. Father, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you, God, that the entire world once a year turns their eyes to the attention to a place called Bethlehem, to a person called Jesus. Father, help us as your people to point and to tell others about what Christ has done in our lives. For your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May I look this way? You know, Christmas, I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of the year. But you know, Christmas has changed for me. I don't know if Christmas has changed for you, but you know, when I was a child, Christmas was about toys and decorations, and you know, we used to, Legos. Man, we had Legos when I was a kid. You know, you think, well, what? Yeah, Legos, pound for pound, is the most expensive piece of plastic on the planet. It really is, unless your wife has a credit card. Then, of course, it gets really expensive. No, just kidding. I love Christmas because I meant toys and skates. Remember getting your first ice skates? You're not right with God. You ain't never had ice skates. I mean, you understand? Praise the Lord! Ice skates, man, and a bike, we just had like big family gatherings, and it was just a lot of fun. And then you know that. And then it changed when I became an adult and got married. It went from me receiving toys to receiving socks, underwear, and T-shirts. Right? And then we became adults with kids, and then we became the ones that were giving all the toys and seeing all the excitement the kids had and just enjoying ourselves. You know, they start off real, real little, like little Titus back there, and they just enjoyed the wrapping paper and the boxes, right? And they got a little older, and they enjoyed the toys, and now my kids are all grown up, and I'm the one giving the socks, underwear, and T-shirts. Right? And we're kind of looking forward to the time where it's going to be with grandkids. That's how we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to the Christmas with grandkids. But you know, there was a time when Christmas changed for me also. And that was when the year was 1990. And that was the year I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. When Jesus Christ literally split time in my life. I mean, it's really cool to think that the birth of Jesus Christ split time for humanity. Because before the liberals got a hold of it, it was B.C., which meant before Christ. Hello? Come on now. Wake up now. Love ya. Love ya. But back when I was a kid, it was just B.C. because it meant before Christ. And A.D. meant at the advent of the divine, or Anno Domingo. It meant advent of divine. It meant when Christ came. And see, now it's before common era, whatever that means. Right? You can rewrite history all you want to, but B.C. stood for before Christ came. He split time. You can try to deny the existence of Christ. But in 1990, when I trusted the Lord as my Savior, Christmas took on a new meaning for me. And you can say, well, listen, you know, he wasn't born on December 25th. Yeah, I get it, but you pick a day and we'll have Jesus' birthday. Ms. Mix will make a cake, we'll have happy birthday Jesus, all right? But you pick a day, but right now everybody looks at Christmas and goes, Christ, well, let's do it, you know? And so, but that was the first year when Christmas took on a new meaning for me. Because he split time in my life. Because from 1990, from October 9th, 1990, the day I trusted Jesus as my Savior, from that day forward was after Christ came in my life. And Christ, everything became different. It became different because Jesus is different. Everything about Jesus is different. Now, I know we look at the birth of Christ because his birth was different. You know, we think of the Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born and unto us a son is given. You know that verse? And the government shall be upon his shoulders. You know that verse? We say it every year. Somebody said to me, why do you always talk about, you know, why don't I always hear that verse at Christmas? Well, you need to come other than just Christmas and you'll hear other verses. And, right, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Look at that next phrase. The Mighty God. This was written 600-700 years before his birth. The Jewish prophet said it would be the Mighty God that would come. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, it defies human explanation. And what's wonderful is God is in charge of all circumstances. And way before Bethlehem and the birth there in Bethlehem, there's over 60 major prophecies concerning this time. Over 270 ramifications of those prophecies are documented in Scripture. And it all surrounds just one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only was his birth prophesied, where he would be born was prophesied. I don't know about you, but did you get to choose where you were born? No, Jesus did, though. Micah 5:2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrata, though thou be least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth. Look at that phrase. Look at, it says unto me, the ruler in Israel. Huh? Whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting, before the world began. His birth was different because it took the divine power of God. We know it was a virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. We refer to this in the New Testament as a mystery, not something that can't be known, but there's something that we don't fully understand right now. We get to heaven, we'll understand it. In 1 Timothy 3:16, it's called the mystery of godliness. It's the fact that God was manifested in the flesh. But I thought he was just a man. We talked about this the other night on Sunday night about God being being Trinity. You know, well, I thought he was just a man. Well, on his mother's side, yeah, he's the Son of Man. But on his father's side, he's the Son of God. On his mother's side, he's 33 years old when he gets to the cross. But on his father's side, he's from everlasting to everlasting. On his mother's side, he's a servant. But on his daddy's side, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. On his mother's side, he's the suffering Lamb. But on his father's side, he's the risen Lord. Some people say, well, Pastor, do you understand it? And I'm like, well, no. But you know, I don't have to. You know, I don't understand electricity all that well, but I refuse to live in the dark until I do understand it. You see what I'm saying? I take it on faith. I believe it. But it is a divine mystery, yes, but it's also a divine miracle. Here in Luke 1 in verse 32, it says, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him his throne, the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Look at verse 34. And then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now look, she's not questioning the God on this in the fact that she's just talking about the mechanics. Look, seeing how I know not a man. Look, I'm not married. You know, I'm engaged, but we're still months away from this whole thing coming together here. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. God in human flesh. That's what John 1:14 said. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Man, there's never been anybody like Jesus. Never been anybody. Huh? Now, it says a child is born there in Isaiah 9:6. And that definitely is the human side. But the Son is given. That's the deity. So the baby that was born in Bethlehem is the earthly child of a heavenly father and a heavenly child of an earthly mother. And he was fully God, though, as though he were not man at all, but fully man as though he were not God at all. He is God and man, not half God and half man, not all God and no man, and not all man and no God, no 100% and 100%. I can't explain it to you. It just is. And he's different. That's how come I'm different. That's how come Christmas is different. Not only is his birth different, you know, the circumstances of his birth were different. When you drop down to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed." It's comforting to know life doesn't really change much in the last 2,000 years. You know what I'm saying? People are people no matter where you live. And because you think of the, wouldn't it be great to go back to the good old days? Why? Because they got taxed back then too. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And it was a divine plan, verse 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. How would you ladies like to be referred to for all eternity as being great with child? That was inspired, by the way, and authoritative in the scripture. Verse number 6, and so it was while they were there, the days were accomplished. Now, you're riding a donkey at that stage of pregnancy. I don't know about you, but we have four children. And when Joshua, our oldest, was born, we had a little Mazda pickup with one of those jump seats. Didn't even have the funky doors. You had to, like, move the front seat to get the baby in the back seat. And I remember the night before he was born, we were having a C-section. So it was kind of convenient. You knew when it was going to happen. And you knew where it was going to happen. And I was at the car wash vacuuming out that truck. Because she wasn't going to bring a baby home in that dirty old truck, okay? And so, man, when I got done, you could eat off the floor. I mean, that's a clean, up until the, other than the day I bought that truck, that was as clean as that truck had ever been. But you know, 3 kids later, we stopped at McDonald's and got fries on the way home. We just, you know what I'm saying? At that point, we really didn't care. There is no way Mary was going to go to Bethlehem that pregnant unless Caesar Augustus made her. Isn't that interesting? But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, the heart of the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. And that's why we're supposed to pray for the national leadership. Because God's in charge. God can change a leader's heart. So was it really Caesar's idea? No, I bet you. I believe it is God saying, you know what? She may not want to travel, but I can make her willing to go. You know, his birth was different because it really fulfilled a divine purpose. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior," not a king, not a God, a Savior, "which is Christ," means the anointed one, "the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You know, every biblical doctrine fundamentally is practical. And why was Jesus conceived of the Holy Spirit? Why was he born? Because the word Savior and babe means that, well, he came to die for our biggest need. And that was our sin. You know, it says, was he wrapped in regular clothes? Maybe a bear's onesie or maybe a cub's onesie? I mean, if you're right with God, you buy your kid a bear's. Cubs? No Cubs fan. Okay. No, it's swaddling clothes. These are long strips of cloth, 3 to 4 inches wide, several feet long. And they wound them around the baby. And this is how you bandage one who were dressed for burial. This is the same thing that you would wrap around the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, whose chastisement of our peace would be upon him and whose stripes we would be healed. You see, when the blood that was shed upon Calvary dripped down, it was actually the blood of God dying for his own creation. And in verse 7 here, it says there was no room for him at the end. But the truth is, there was no room for him anywhere in the world because the world did not want him as he hung on the cross. Neither could heaven receive him. And the question I have for you today is, do you have room for Jesus this year? Do you have a place for him this Christmas at your house? You say, well, that just sounds like an old cliche. Well, where is Jesus at this year in your life? Is there a place for him this year at your Christmas house? You know, his birth was different. You know, his life was different. He was completely free of sin. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The whole of Christianity can be wrapped up in 2 Corinthians 5, 21. If you're trying to explain it to somebody, let's say you're at the airport and you're trying to explain Christianity to somebody, go to 2 Corinthians 5, 21. This is it in a nutshell. For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's God the Son, for he hath made him to be sin for us. He, God the Father, sent God the Son to be sin for us sinful people God the Son knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him or in Christ. That's Christianity. That's the point of the Bible. That's the reason, Genesis to Revelation. That's the point of the whole Christmas story. Well, why did he come? Why was he born there? Why? Because God the Father sent God the Son, and who God the Son was willing to do it to, who was sinless. And he was made sin. All the sin of mankind. And you know what's so beautiful about this picture is, brothers and sisters, is that all of our sin was yet future. You know, the sins you haven't even committed yet, the ones you're going to commit in the future, all those also were placed upon Christ at Calvary. Amen. That you could be made the righteousness of God. So when God the Father, when you trust Christ as your Savior, God the Father looks down at you and he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed or credited to you. He sees the righteousness of his Son, and that's why you're accepted. All your past, present, and future sin covered by the blood. You know, his life was different because his words were different. You know, when they tried to arrest him, the officers are like, man, nobody ever talked like him before. John 7. Jesus said in John 6, the words that I speak are spirit and are life. And his works were different. You know, he didn't use magic tricks to manipulate people. He healed them. Really healed them. He even touched the leper. I've always been enamored by that. His life was different, his birth was different, but his death was different. His death was different because it was prophesied he would die with sinners. In Isaiah 53:12, it says that he would be numbered with the transgressors. You know, he died between two thieves. And as I talked about last week, nobody understood substitution like Barabbas. Barabbas knew that day it was his day to die. And when they came and got him out of that cell, somebody probably shouted, "Dead man walking," as the chains clanked from the shackles on his ankles and his wrists. Barabbas knew this was it. And I'm sure everybody was quiet, and as he walked, knowing this was his last day on earth, only to stand before the mob and have them shout for him. You know, not a bone of him was broken. And the Bible says in Psalm 24 that that's how it would happen, that not a single bone of Christ would be broken. Isaiah 53 said he'd be beaten beyond recognition. Isaiah 52 said his visage would be marred. These were things were prophesied. Not only would he be numbered with the thieves, but that he would be in a dead man's tomb, a borrowed rich man's tomb. Excuse me, not a dead man, a rich man's tomb. Isaiah 53, he'd make his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. You know, when you think about Christ, everything about him was different. And everything about me in my life now that I know Christ is different. It's different. Yes, I'm getting older and my life changes from being the kid who got the toys to the guy who gives the toys. Yeah, those are natural, but the purpose of why I give gifts is different. What I want for my friends and family is now different because Christ has made me different. He was different in birth. He was different in life. He was different in his death. He set an example that was different. Do you realize that when he was gone on the cross, he prayed for and forgave the people who caused his death? Man, that's different. I don't know that I can do that. You realize it wasn't his fault. He was hung on a cross. You know, I didn't get saved. I was not able to fully understand my need of salvation until I realized it was my fault that I caused Christ's death. That it was my sin that put Jesus there. You know, Martha Stewart lied over $40,000 and it cost her $40 million. $400 million, I guess. And the Jewish leaders who denied Jesus really didn't understand the ramifications of their sin. But the night I got saved, as I was fighting with the idea of trusting Christ as my Savior, it finally dawned on me that it was my sin that was placed on Jesus. God the Father, in his foreknowledge, looked down through time and he saw my sin and he saw my need of a Savior. Ephesians 1:4, the Bible says, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. When the thought of creating mankind came into the Father's mind, he knew he needed a Savior, and God the Son said, I'll go. Before he ever laid the foundation of the earth, the Son said, I'll go. I didn't understand it, but he designed Calvary and started with Christmas in mind. And he forgave those people. So when the flood waters receded after Noah's flood, he molded a small hill. And he knew would be Calvary. And in that fertile mud, he made a seed that would grow to be thorns. That would make the brow of his Son bleed. And he let a little stem grow and gave it leaves and sunshine. And he knew it would grow to be a tree that would be carved into a cross. You understand, when God designed salvation, it was us he had in mind because of his love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This concept was the inspiration of a song called He Grew the Tree that he knew would be used for the old rugged cross. That thought still moves me. Now, I've told you the story how I cut my finger off. Do you remember that? Yeah. Remember that? But you know, I'm a slow learner. I almost cut these two fingers off in a table saw. If you're real close, you could see the lines still in my flesh. And you know, when I touch them just right on something, I can still feel a sting from it. You know, you and I who know Christ as our Savior and we know that we've been forgiven, but we know that maybe we still have some things that we have yet to turn over to the Lord and some things in our life that aren't quite right. And What if Christ still felt the sting of the lash when he thinks of the sin that I'm not willing to give back, you know, and confess and forsake? What if he still felt the nails every time, you know, I choose to go against what he says and live different? Would it make you uncomfortable to know that it makes him uncomfortable? What if he still felt the sting? If you're lost today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, this could be the first Christmas as a new creature. This could be the different Christmas. This could be the time when Christ splits time for you and you could be forgiven and Christmas could be different. And all of your mistakes and all of your past is washed away by the blood of Christ, and that's all built before Christ. It's all back there, and even God will forget about it. God will will it out of his memory, and not even God will remember it. He promises you, justified, just if I never sinned. God wipes it away. But if you're saved, let me ask you a question. Are you right with God today? How's Christmas going to be different for you this year? Besides, you're in a new house and a new place. Maybe your kids are a little older and some of the toys have gotten more expensive, right? How's Christmas going to be different? You know, when Jesus was being crucified, he prayed not only for the people who caused it, he prayed to the one who designed it and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, he helped the one who wanted it as he hung there between two thieves. At first, they both mocked him. Crazy thought, both of them had to pull themselves up on the nails, take a breath, and mock Jesus like they ain't got nothing better to do, right? But then one of them comes to himself and realizes, oh, wait a second. I heard this in Sunday school, this is the Lord. This is out of Isaiah 53. Holy cow, this is the one. I can't believe I'm hanging on the cross next to the one. 6 feet from heaven, 6 feet from hell. And he says, Lord, remember me. I know who this guy is. And he tells the other guy to be quiet. Hey, we're getting what we deserve, recognizing he's a sinner and saying, Lord, remember me. And Jesus pulls himself up on the nails and takes a couple breaths and says, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Man, that's different. What about you? Has Jesus split time for you? You know, some of you could be just a few feet from heaven. Because this is as close, this is as close to hell as a Christian gets. But this is as close to heaven as a lost person gets. You know, if our greatest need was information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need was technology, God would have sent an engineer. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent an economist. And if our greatest need was pleasure, he'd have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness. That's why he sent a Savior. Don't mock God's final call. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Will you recognize your needs? Yeah, there were some incredible things that happened the day Christ was crucified. And yeah, he arose from the grave 3 days and three nights later. He was different. He appeared, he ascended, and he's coming again. That's true. But you know, Christmas is different because he's made a difference in me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, listen to me, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I still love all the traditions of Christmas. I haven't given up any of them. We still put up a tree. I still love stringing popcorn if we do it. I still love some of the, Ms. Mix and I, we first got married. We're so broke. It's pitiful. It was pitiful. I mean, pitiful. You ever seen the Charlie Brown Christmas tree? You know what I'm saying? It's so bad, nobody else wanted it. Praise the Lord. Miss Mix found a bag of buttons. Well, I don't know where we got that, a garage sale? It was in the bottom of a box. We wanted what was on top. We gave a buck. It was in the bottom. We just couldn't throw it away. We strung them together and made ornaments out of them. Yeah. I remember those Christmases. We still have some of those ornaments. But they were the sweetest times. Because Christmas isn't about the money that was spent, nor how fancy the decorations. Christmas is about the one who made a difference for me and the one who made a difference in me. That's why Christmas is different. I now understand the point of it. Because the day I got saved was in October. And yeah, I was excited. I wasn't going to hell anymore. But then I started reading the Bible and everything was great. But then we come into the Christmas time and I realized, wow, he was born in a barn. And he lived in a poor man's home. And he was mocked his entire life as the outcast in society because his mother was already pregnant before they were married. And he went through he went through high school and puberty like that. So he knows what it's like to be us. Even though he's never sinned, everybody assumed the worst. He can make a difference in you. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 16 says that God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. When we were raising our kids, we told them that's why we give gifts. It reminds us of the gift of Christ. And when our children would say, "But you know, they'd open a gift and go, but I didn't ask for this." I'd say, "It ain't your birthday." might find that useful this year. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Remembering the Messiah this year at Christmas, what's going to be different this year for you at Christmas? Christmas is more to me now that I'm saved. Are you ready to let Christ split time for you? If you're lost, I want to give you an opportunity to trust Christ. I want you to have Christmas 2024 to be the most different and the most exciting time of your life. Because you finally understand the greatest gift didn't come with wrapping papers and bows, but was wrapped in swaddling clothes. He was born into this world wrapped in those clothes. And then he lived and died and was wrapped in the same kind of cloth. And then rose victorious for us. Christian, you're here today. Are you submitted to Christ? You're saved, but is he your Lord? Are you baptized? Look, you're already on your way to heaven, but have you followed him and obeyed him? Have you joined the church? Are you serving? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You know, he's coming back. He's coming back. And this time he won't be born as a baby. This time he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every eye will see him. Won't you? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're ready for Jesus Christ to split time, won't you pray a prayer like this? Lord Jesus, like the thief on the cross, I know I'm a sinner. Like the thief on the cross, I admit it. It's my sin that put you there. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I believe you died and rose again for me. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you. Thank you for dying for me. I believe. Christian, you're here today, head bowed, every eye closed. Christian, you're here today, and you know you're saved, you know you're going to heaven, but things aren't quite right between you and him because things aren't quite right with you and someone else. You need to go to God and say something similar. Lord Jesus, I'm going to go make something right with this other person. And before I do, I need to make it right with you. Forgive me. Here is the sin that's causing the problem. And you lay it out there for him, and you be specific. Now, don't you sugarcoat it and call it a weakness. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm talking to Christians now. You want to be right with God? You don't want to leave here crossways with the Lord. You want to be clean? You want to come out of here with a fresh heart and a fresh conscience and walk out of here with new life and new and freshness, you can do it right now by being specific. Lord, here's the sin that I need to confess and ask your forgiveness for, because I want to be right with you. Now, Father, I'm going to make it right with this person that's on my heart right now. And as I do, give them the grace to forgive me as I know you are forgiving me now. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. In the next few moments, I ask God that each person would do business with you, that each person would have a moment and a meeting with you, that each person would encounter you, and Father, that each person would be honest and open. And Father, that today we would all leave different because of our Savior, and that this Christmas would be different because of the difference Christ makes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play and sing, the altar is open. Won't you come down here and talk to the Lord? Listen, there's nothing magic about this carpet, but you know what? There's something that happens when Christians submit in their heart and get over themselves and step out and come down here and kneel and say, God, it's me. I want to talk to you. God, I got to meet with you. God, I need to have a meeting with you. Won't you come? Won't you come?
Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you.
If you died today, are you sure heaven's your home? You sure you'd wake up in glory? You can be.
Father and our God, we love you and we thank you, God, for the difference Christ made in us. And God, may we go forth as your emissaries to make a difference, to be used of you to make a difference in this world for his name's sake and for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May look this way. Listen.